Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunink Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. Did you hear that weather report? Picture perfect weather. So I love it. It's September in Pennsylvania. And our guest this morning is coming from the other side of Canada. So I'm just going to love to have you here. Our special guest this morning, Sandra Deseran. She's going to be calling in from Vancouver Island, British Columbia. And Sandra spends time inspiring, empowering, and celebrating the magic of children and their magnificent presence among us. And as we each join the world, we bring an eternity of life, hope, and collective wisdom with us to explore life's journey and fulfill our life's higher purpose. In an adult-run society, we often forget where we came from and we lose sight of the magical wonderment, hope, and faith that children bring to the world. Raising four children of her own and working through her life with hundreds of children of all abilities and interest, San seeks to inspire a new generation towards peace, harmony, and global consciousness, and explore the broader notions of spirituality through their innate love and fascination of nature, animals, humanity, and those magical beings, which we've talked about before, the fairies. She blends play, quantum science, music, humanity, visual and performing arts with the esoteric arts of mediumship, past life regression, psychic arts, Reiki, soul travel, and much more. San inspires and empowers children to learn to use their own true inner magic to expand consciousness, heal body and mind, inspire peace and love in the world, and truly live from their universal soul. So I'm so happy to share with you, San. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie.
And it's wonderful, and I know we're going to hear from the children, too, this morning, so I love that part, too. It always reminds me, I told you, of Art Linkletter.
it's a tribute to him in today's day.
Yeah, absolutely, because kids do say the darndest things, and I love to get their take on things because it's so not tainted with other people's opinions. You know how we always pick those up? It's like they just have their own thoughts, and they just speak them.
Absolutely. It's the truth that we all really like to be able to say, but we're often inhibited, and children just go ahead and let it out.
I know. I love that. So, I mean, you come from quite a background. I mean, I know you've worked with a lot of kids through your work as an art therapist, but you also are an attorney.
Indeed.
So that's quite a combination.
Well, it has been. It has been. I've worn many hats, and I tend to blend over in throughout my careers. I was in child psychology for many years and in art therapy, and I found that even in law, I found that I was so inspired by the children, and especially in dealing with a lot of family law, a lot of divorce and problems in families that are really a parallel and quite a microcosm of what's going on in the greater society, and seeing the effect on the children and seeing the way the children are not heard and they're so damaged, and the future and the hope of humanity rests on how we treat these children and how we inspire these children. So whether it's in psychology, in law, in summer camp, in teaching, in playing with other people's kids at the playground, whatever it may be, how we inspire today's children is all the hope we have for the future of humanity.
Yes, because they certainly carry that with them from a very young age.
They do, right from birth, right from in utero. And when you look at the great leaders of today and of the past and of the future, all of these people were inspired since they were children. They were all inspired somewhere along the way toward greatness and toward moving in their lifetime for a better world and a better life for all people.
And they often tell those stories of things that they remember from when they were very young.
Oh, and boy, they remember. And the tiniest things that kids might remember, we can preach and teach all we like throughout their lifetimes, but it'll be that one tiny comment somebody made along the way, the man at the candy store, and the way that he might have, you know, smiled or chuckled at a child on the way by, and something positive that just inspired a child to say, wow, I matter in this world. I'm not just an insignificant little person. I'm a real person and I matter.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting, and I've learned that even more clearly lately. It's like you don't even realize the comments that you make, because it's not like a big important thing. It's not like you're making a big proclamation. It's some small little thing you did or said that people remember, and they really internalize that.
It is so true. It is so true. And a child defines himself by what they're shown and what they're told and what they're taught. And if you teach and tell children how wonderful they are inside and what they're really about inside and as a soul being on this planet, that's what carries them through. That's what gets them through everything from conflict and war to playground bullying to racism to whatever the problems of the universe might be. That kid knowing that they are an eternal soul and they're here for a walk and they're here for a journey and they're here to do something on this planet, that's what will carry them through.
Yeah, it really sets up sort of a different paradigm for them as they go through life.
It does, and equally importantly for us as adults, we are so inspired and so moved by children, and yet we seem to diminish their importance and significance, and we quiet their voices. And yet when they do say something, as the great Art Glenn Clatterow tells you,
yeah.
Boy, it puts us on our ear.
It does, because you really have to sit back and you're thinking, oh my gosh, where did that come from?
Well, they speak truth. They speak truth.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, and I know you're working with a special project right now out there in Vancouver because your schools are on strike.
They are. They are. And we're all staying as optimistic as possible, and everyone is hoping that the arbitration that they've now agreed to enter will help resolve this conflict. We've had the teachers, 40,000 teachers, and the have been on strike now since back in June. We've got over 500,000 kids that are without schools to be in throughout British Columbia right now, and everyone is scrambling. The summer camps scramble to try to keep something going through the fall. The parents are scrambling.
Right, because, if you're planning on kids being back in school, now all of a sudden, out of the blue, here you are trying to figure out what to do with them, how to take care of them during the day while you're at work.
Well, it's so true. It's so true, and it's very worrisome, of course, just for pure safety reasons, and not to mention the loss of, several weeks or potentially a month or two of education.
Right.
But equally importantly, from my perspective, is the message that we're sending these children. I hear both sides engaging in their conflict and trying to embroil the public in their conflict. And what worries me is that all the children are seeing and hearing is conflict and strike and dispute. And nowhere in the media message or nowhere do you hear people talking about and really inquiring and pushing for the best interests of the children and for recognizing their role in this and the importance of inspiring them and supporting them and teaching them to be the future leaders as opposed to the passive recipients or victims of a system that may or may not work,
right,
regardless of who blames whom.
Right. It is interesting how you think what this is really teaching.
Well,
what is this teaching the kids?
But at the same time, I think the kids do have a really valuable opportunity for those that have some leadership around them, whether it's parents, teachers, friends, neighbors, that if there is an opportunity there for children to see firsthand and recognize what structure our society can have in place that can either work or not work or anywhere in between, and how that does affect the day-to-day life of the real people.
Right, and how you can step up, and even though the standard isn't in place, come up with other solutions.
Well, that's right. And when they're seeing the rallying and they're seeing the protests and they're hearing it constantly around them, we can only hope that most people will access this learning opportunity and teach the children that this is what a free and democratic society is about. This is what people standing together for what they believe in is about, regardless of what side it is, and embrace and celebrate the freedoms that we have in our great countries to be able to stand up, to be able to stand up and fight for what we believe in and work for the best interest and for the hope of a good education system and of a democratic society where we do get to vote and we do get to challenge our government and we do get a response. And we have a government that does come to the table and unions that do come to the table. And no matter how embroiled or entrenched or extended and protracted the disputes may become, there's an opportunity to hear to teach children, you keep coming back and you don't resort to violence and you don't shut down and slam your door and refuse to talk about it. You keep coming back and working and working and working together until we find solutions.
And I love how you put that, because it's so easy to just slam the door and, you know, put up your front and, you know, not even engage. So I like that it encourages children to know that, you know, this takes some time. This takes some real working together. This is give and take.
It's teaching persistence, and it's teaching, above all, I hope most of all, the message that children gain from this experience is that regardless of how negative a situation may appear or how much people may be embroiled in negative attitudes about it, there's something very, very positive behind every negative. And sometimes you've got to look a little deeper to find it, but there's always a really important lesson to be learned for positivity and change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm so excited for you because you are one of those people who has actually said, okay, here is another solution. And you're actually, they have what they call strike camps, right? Where they're actually coming up with, you know, some organized activities and structure and things for kids to replace, you know, the schooling at this point. And you have one opening very shortly, don't you?
We do indeed. I applaud what people have done around the province, everything from parents coming together and hiring people to teach small groups to different summer camps that kept running through the fall, and the communities and the municipalities that have kept community centers open and set up these what are often referred to as flash camps, where people are saying, we need somewhere for these children, we need something to give to these kids, to keep them off the streets, or to keep them from being left home alone. And indeed, many people have risen to the call, and it's wonderful to see. I'm very, very privileged to get to be one of those people that I was able to find a magnificent camp facility on Shawnigan Lake here, and we're opening up on Monday to start taking kids in and take as many as we can to inspire and teach and let them learn and learn to love nature and recognize what's really all around them every day that they often don't get to see when they are caught in the daily grind, much like adults.
Yes, absolutely.
Going from school and homework and organized sports and all these things that are wonderful to have, but when we don't have them, sometimes it's an opportunity to step out of our regular day-to-day life and say, well, what else is there? What other ways are there to learn? And what else can these kids benefit from while they're waiting for the schools to open?
Yeah, what is new for them to figure out what's coming next? So, well, believe it or not, it's time for a really short break. And I'm hoping when we come back, Sandra, that we might be able to hear from some of the kids and get some of their perspective on some things as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Stay tuned, everybody.
It's time now for more Heart to Heart. Brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Okay, everybody, we're back this morning, and my guest is Sandra Deseren, and she is the founder of Esoteric Kids, and she's also an attorney and an art therapist, and we've been talking about the magic of children, and we're going to bring in one of her little girls, Kiana, and get her perspective on some things. So how about that?
Well, I know Kiana's looking forward to sharing her perspective. She's a true inspiration, as all children are. And when it comes from the kids, we hear truth. We know, because the children speak what they really experience. They don't, and they're not inhibited. They don't hold it back. And we accept or embrace or giggle at what they have to say. But deep in our hearts, they speak such truth. I'm going to go ahead with this and bring Kiana in here.
Okay, wonderful.
Hello.
Hello.
What's your name?
Kiana.
Hi, Kiana. How old are you?
My energy is 890 tests, and I'm sick.
Wow, that's a long time for your energy. Where do you live?
I'm in Jim Lake.
Do you like it there?
I love it there.
What do you love about it?
I like the fairies and all the plants and trees.
You do?
And the next thing I like is all the birds there and deer.
Oh my. And you get to see all of these things?
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do you see them mostly?
Outside, inside, and that's all.
It is. Now, do you know any elves and fairies at Shawnigan Lake?
Uh-huh.
Now, where do you...
Some make silk clothes.
Ooh.
Some bake. And some like to clean windows. The riding car. And some like to build stuff.
Wow.
And some of them like to cook. Some of them are about.
Wow, very nice. Do they have magical powers?
Uh-huh.
They do? What can they do with the magic?
The first one, the clothes one, is their magic. They can make a whole bunch of pretty dresses without even looking.
Wow. What other magic do they have?
Well, the cupcake baker, the bakery one. They can boom a lot of bakery stuff. And then help their whole home to eat all the cakes for them. They all eat cake.
Yummy. Are there any fairies at Shawnigan Lake that can grant wishes?
Apparently, yes. They grant every wish.
Oh.
But you can only get 8 wishes.
8 wishes?
But they can only grant good wishes, and only one each day.
Oh.
So, the days make 6.
I see. And what would you wish if the fairy was going to grant you a wish?
I would wish that everyone wouldn't have to pay.
Oh, well, that's nice. Have you talked to any of these fairies?
Yes. I'm talking to one right now.
You are? Where?
It's right there.
Oh my. What kind of fairy is that one?
This one might be the energy friendship fairy.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And what does she do?
Well, her favorite thing to do is what she always. She likes to help people make friends, make love, and a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, that sounds beautiful, honey. Is there anything that you wish that the whole world knew about fairies?
That everyone believes in fairies.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It was very nice talking with you, Kiana. Have a lovely day.
I will.
Bye-bye.
I love that. So we just got our whole lesson on fairies this morning from Kiana. Thank you, Kiana. And I'm thinking, I want the one that cleans windows. Can ask Kiana to send that one to my house.
I want the cupcake fairy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, and I love that perspective that they grant every wish, but
only the good ones.
Yeah, only the good ones, but every good wish you have, they grant, but we get 8. So remember that, everybody, you get 8 wishes.
One a day.
One a day plus an extra.
Oh.
Oh, and so her wish is for everyone to live happily. I had a little trouble hearing that part. Is that what she said?
For everybody, that no one would have to pay.
No one would have to pay.
That no one would have to pay for things, because she learns a lot. She's very tentative to many of the issues in the world. We just did a toy drive. Her two brothers play CJFL football, and they just did a big toy drive at their game on Saturday, for example. And she's, you know, very aware and mindful of how children, a lot of, many children don't have enough food or don't have enough toys or proper housing or medical care all over the world. And she understands that that's because it takes money to provide those things, and people have to pay for those things. And her solution is always, well, why don't we just say people don't have to pay? Why can't people just have toys, and why can't the people just have food? Why does everybody have to pay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was her wish, that no one would have to pay, so that everyone would have some.
Yeah.
And again, the true message of abundance in the world, the true message of it's there, and we live in such an abundant world, and really there is enough for everyone in our world, and there needs to be a solution that says there is enough, let's share it, and let's make it available to everybody.
Yeah, she's getting to see that there with your toy drives and things like that, where people are sharing.
Well, that's right, and she's learning that, no, and that's the way she wants it to be, that if children don't have a toy, they should be able to just get one without having to pay, and to see that it's not about Santa, and it's not about a mad rush at the mall, and it's not about, you know, the children that come from families that can afford great toys grow up, you know, with much, and the messages are that the good toys get toys, the good kids get toys, and the naughty kids don't. And she understands that it's not about you get more if you're good and less if you're naughty. It's about there's abundance in the world, and we have to find a way to make it available to people because we care, not just based on, you know, measures of good and naughty that are immediately tied to the economic wealth of the person or the family or the community.
Right. Right, I love that. And boy, that's a powerful lesson.
Well, and again, from the mouths of babes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for her to just, you know, bring that forward for us to just, you know, hear again and understand from a different perspective.
Yeah, and for a six-year-old, one wish, as opposed to being for a new doll or toy.
Yeah,
or
she didn't wish for a new bike.
Yeah, or clean windows or cupcakes like you and me.
Yeah, I was like, send me the window cleaning fairy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think she said it all in her own introduction when I asked how old she is. And her answer was, I forget the numbers, but, you know, well, my energy is 80, 100, 10, 50 years old, but I'm 6.
Oh, you know, because I couldn't hear all that part. So thank you for repeating that.
Oh,
so her energy is 80 to 100 years. Now, what does she mean by that?
Well, she knows and understands that we are something more than the flesh we walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that wherever we come from, wherever we go to, it doesn't matter what people's opinions are, how the world is in conflict over what's the right story to believe. What's important is knowing that you're an eternal being. We're all love. We're all light and energy. And we've always been and always will be, whether we come from whatever source and whatever source we go to, there's one unifying thing that everybody can hold to, and that's that we are a much more eternal thing than just the 80 to 100 flesh years that we have on this earth.
Yeah, I love that she's looking at her energy like it's that much, but here I am, I'm 6.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's amazing how the children get it if they're allowed to and encouraged and inspired to search and explore and think about these things and talk about these things without anybody imposing on them rigid ways of seeing the world or of seeing life. It's quite remarkable how they see it and what they come up with. Even notions of a fairy, her favorite fairy that she talked about, that's the energy friendship fairy, and how, you know, that fairy, and of course I had to bite my tongue and not chuckle. It was so adorable for her to say, and And that fairy, what she does best is helps make friendship and helps make love. The notion of this fairy going around and just creating and spreading love throughout the world, coming in such a different concept of love than how we often see it in our society.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And creating friendships.
Well, that's right. And for her to recognize how important that is, and that's her favorite one, over and above the cupcakes and the clean windows.
Yeah, yeah. We need to send that fairy out with our Secretary of State.
Oh, don't we? Don't we? And to all the various governments and unions and people and marriages and religions and everyone that's in conflict everywhere around the world where there are everything, all sorts of war and poverty and problems, and to just be able to send fairies out to bring love.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so much so. It's just wonderful what you do with the children, Sandra. And you use a lot of different modalities when you work with the kids, right?
I do. I take my inspiration from each child. Some are, they all come to it with their own world of magic. And when we come into the world, we've just got so much. We bring so much eternal wisdom and eternal light with us here. And really, I see it as right from when a child is brought into this world, they're bringing something magical. They're bringing messages. They're coming with an unjaded view of life and love. And all we need to do is get out of the way. All we need to do is inspire that and let them be and let them live it and walk and live and learn from that place of love and light. And if we do, if we step back and let them and we encourage and support that, each child has their own way of expressing it. Some very much intellectualize things. Some are very fantasized in their thinking. Some are very shy but internal and reflective. And others are loud and bouncing off the walls. And to me, the magic is taking that opportunity, that child that's bouncing, jumping up and down on the couch the whole time they're talking to you, and embracing that and saying, this is great, I love that energy, I love that enthusiasm, instead of saying, sit down quietly and let's have a session.
Mm-hmm.
Or the child that sits down quietly and doesn't really want to talk, but they'll just sketch and doodle quietly to themselves on a little piece of paper, and they don't necessarily want to share it with you, or they don't necessarily want to draw what the teacher says, but what they're doing is creating and getting what's inside of them out onto paper. And when you embrace that and allow that, magic flows. What these kids talk about and what they understand and how they can relate, not only about their own lives, but about the bigger picture and about what the real purposes of life are. It's incredible. So whether I use art therapy or if we're just talking, I do a lot of play therapy, or if we just go for an explore in the woods and let the kids tell me what they see, what energy do they feel out there in the universe, what do they feel when they look at the sky or at the ocean, and what does it mean in the bigger picture? What does it mean to them as an individual? What do they think it means for the world and for all people?
Well, it's interesting, and then I think today, after sharing a little time with you this morning, Sandra, I think we'll have a lot of parents and grandparents out there that'll maybe look at their interaction with the children and their little loves in their life and look at it a little differently and give them a little more freedom to express themselves. So, Sandra, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. You know, it would be beautiful to see people doing that. More and more, we've come so far from the days of children are to be seen and not heard. And more, we're starting to recognize and empower children. And we're finally, I think, starting to recognize that empowering children or honoring children doesn't mean spoiling them or doesn't mean letting them run rampant and do what they want or be disrespectful or, eat all the candy they want. It's not about that. It's about teaching a child what's inside, helping them to identify all the goodness they have inside of them, and helping them learn how to express that and bring that to the world. And whether they bring it, talking about their past lives, which children very readily talk about past journeys they've had, or whether they're connected with the spirit world, whether it's God or past loved ones or guardian angels or elves or fairies, whatever the spirit and esoteric worlds that they experience are, when we encourage and inspire and allow them to live that, that's when we see their light shining through.
Absolutely. Well, Sandra, thank you so much for bringing that all to us today. And I want to tell people they can find you at on the web at esoterickids.com. And again, I guess you're also on Facebook, right, Sandra?
That's correct. That's correct. You just go into Facebook and search Esoteric Kids.
Okay. All right. Well, wonderful. I can't believe our time is so short. And we so have enjoyed having you here and bringing us closer to the kids.
Well, thank you. I'm very honored to be able to do so.
All right, Sandra. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All the best.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
This portion of Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunink Advisory Services.
Okay, everybody, we're back. And real quick, I want to remind everybody, if you want to get a hold of me, you can call my office at 717-968-5289. And I have offices in Hanover and York. I have lots of special events coming up in October. So mark your calendars and give me a call if you want to participate. We have a What's Your Pet Saying? Animal Communication Workshop at the VCA Bridgeport Animal Hospital in Lancaster on Saturday, October 4th. And you can register by calling me as well as the Animal Hospital. We also have another Opening Your Intuition Workshop here in Hanover at All As Well Associates at the Eichelberger Professional Center. And that will be Saturday, October 11th. So it's a chance for you to tap into your own natural psychic abilities and build that intuitive voice that can help make your daily life easier in all things. It's really a fun class. And one of my most fun events for the year is coming up. It's the holiday, you know, Cooking with Spirit. And we're going to be holding that up in Mechanicsburg with Chef Donna Desfour. And I'm sure you've seen her on Fox 43. And it's a wonderful day of cooking and tasting and creating delicious foods with one idea in mind to get you through the holidays with ease. So that is only limited to 14 lucky people, so it's already filling fast. So if you're interested in that, please give me a call. Again, the number is 717-968-5289. Okay, everybody, I will not be here next week because I'm on vacation, but I'll be back the following week with more of Heart to Heart.